55. For I do not understand my own actions.
For I do not do what I want,
but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. The word of the Lord, you may be seated. Well, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? A little tongue twisting, it seemed, going on there. This portion of Romans has been very confusing for a lot of people throughout the years. But I hope today, as we make our way through the text together and we exposit it, we can break it down, break it apart, and put it back together, and it will make perfect sense to us. So I begin this morning with verses 15 through 18, and this is how I will handle the text. I will break it down into small bite-sized pieces and explain, take it apart, put it back together, and I think when we get to the end, we'll be good. Verses 15 through 18. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Paul is confused by his behavior. When we read it, it sounds confusing to us. Well, Paul's not confused about what he's writing, but he is confused concerning his behavior. It's as if he is saying, I don't understand myself. I do what I hate rather than do what I love. Let me let you think about that for a moment. He is speaking as a new man in Christ. He is speaking as a believer who has a new nature given him by the Lord in the rebirth. And so when he says, I don't understand myself. I do what I hate, which is what I used to love. And I'm not doing what I love, which is in accordance with the new nature Christ gave me. And so he is describing a conflict that is somehow embedded within his will. And is he not saying what every single believer can relate to? Don't you find it to be the case that there is a conflict within you? And you experience this conflict regularly. And this is why I entitled the message, The Conflict. It's a real thing. Paul really did want to live a perfect life of obedience to Jesus, but he didn't, because there was a conflict present within his heart. A conflict between a desire for obedience and yet the attractiveness to disobedience. And this is why Jesus taught, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is not, by saying that, making an excuse for our failure to obey him. He is simply acknowledging that as a new creature in Christ, we possess a new spirit, a rebirthed spirit, a regenerated spirit. We are spiritual creatures in Christ, and yet we still live in a body of flesh. These bodies have yet to be redeemed. They have yet to be delivered from the presence of sin. And so there's this conflict, and Jesus recognized it. And this is what he said to his disciples. He says, listen, the spirit, the new man, the new you is willing, but you still live in a body of flesh and it's weak. In other words, he's telling them, you're going to be in a war for the rest of your life. And like Paul, every single believer in this room and who watches this live stream possesses mixed desires. Think about it. I mean, let's just be honest with one another here. Life wasn't all that complicated until we were born again. Do you know how many folks have the idea that if they will just come to Jesus and be saved in Jesus, that all of their problems go away? That is not how it works. Before I was born again, all I had was my flesh. I happily went about my business, satisfying the cravings of my flesh, which was my fallen, corrupt, sinful human nature. There was really no war going on within me. Oh, I heard the teachings of my parents and my grandparents, and they would teach me good, strong morals. And yes, my conscience would bother me from time to time, but it was very short-lived. And you know what I'm talking about, most of you. But when the Holy Spirit raises a person up from spiritual death to spiritual life, our lives then become a battleground. It is then that our lives become complicated and remain complicated because we are in a war that will persist until the Lord carries us home. And this is what Paul's talking about. And this is the reality for every single believer. Regardless of how long you or I have been walking with Jesus, it's the reality. We're in a war. Our lives are a battleground. Well, what are we to do considering this reality? One, we engage in the fight. We wear the whole armor of God. We put it on, as the Apostle Paul commanded us as believers to do, put on the full armor of God. Not part of the armor. The full armor. Put it on and engage in the fight. We take seriously the Scripture's command that we are not to yield to the sin or sins that so easily entrap us. And there is a key. We have to recognize that there are sins, certain sins, that easily entrap you. Now, the sin that easily entraps you may not be the same sin that easily entraps me. But we all, and I'm talking to believers here, There is a sin or sins that you and I are more susceptible to than others. And we have to take seriously the commands of Scripture not to yield to those sins. We must take our Christian life and our Christian walk seriously. We must dig deep into the Holy Scriptures, because we know if we read our Bibles, if you've heard faithful preaching, you already know that you live not by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. The Word of God is the true food of the child of God. We all have to eat natural food, physical food, for these bodies to survive. But let me tell you something. Hey, brother. I didn't tell you this, but Lisa, and I don't, this is on the World Wide Web, it's okay. Lisa, without me even asking, did something she's never tried before. She made moumois, an egg custard pie. And it was good. Congratulations. And let me tell you, I ate two big slabs the first night she made it and a half a pot of coffee. And you know what? I felt good physically, but it didn't help me spiritually one bit. In fact, it might have hurt me because I think I was a glutton that night. For the child of God, being in the Scriptures is not a negotiable. Not unless we want to be easily entrapped by sin and fail to live up to who we are in Christ. Because if we're not faithful to be eating on the Word of God, we are going down. We're going down. It's just that simple. And we make use of the means of God's grace to progress in our sanctification. I've preached on what the means of grace, God's grace is before, so I won't go down that road. But prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, studying the Word of God with other believers, hearing the Word of God proclaimed, being in the Word of God yourself, stewardship, giving back to God of what God's blessed you to receive. All of those are the means of grace God's given us, and we have to engage in those things. And we must not permit ourselves to be at ease in Zion. This is the third week you've heard me utter that phrase. For the believer, now is not the time to sit back and eat, drink, and be merry. We are engaged in a battle. We must be zealous in serving the Lord. That's critical. Let me put it this way. Let me sum all of that up this way. We have to realize that unless we feed the spiritual man and starve the carnal man, we're going down. We have to feed the new man and starve the old man. Feed the new Moses in Christ and starve the old Moses in my flesh. This is what Paul is saying in verses 15, 16, 17, 18. Look at verses 19 and 20. What does he say about his flesh? Nothing good dwells in my flesh. And though he has the desire to do what is right, he doesn't have the ability to carry it out. Not in his flesh. And this is why he declares, I don't do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do not if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Don't misunderstand what Paul is saying here. He is not N-O-T denying taking personal responsibility for his failures. That is not what he's doing here. His point is that he does what he does not want to do because of sin. He wants to live a life that is glorifying to God, but he finds himself not living up to the Lord's expectations of him because of sin. He recognizes that sin dwells within him, within his flesh. He recognizes that he is involved, and I say it again, a massive ongoing conflict. And yet, despite that conflict, he also knows that he is a new creature in Christ. And he wants to fight the good fight of faith in the new man. He doesn't want to relate to Saul anymore. He wants to relate to Paul. Right? Because he was Saul before the Lord converted him, before the Lord rebirthed him. And he was a vile man. He doesn't want to relate to him anymore, to that worldview anymore, to those passions and desires anymore. He wants to relate to Paul, whom Christ made him to be, a new creature. This is what he wants to do. The one who has been redeemed from bondage to sin. He wants to relate to the man who is destined for heaven. And believer, listen carefully here. The new birth, if we are truly born from above, the new birth has released us from bondage to sin, has released us from the corruption that we were born into this world with. The moment we were born from God, that bondage was broken. We were set free from the chains of bondage to sin that bound us. We no longer have an excuse for sinning. Not as believers. And yet, despite this dramatic release from bondage to sin, change does not instantaneously eradicate all of the impulses of sin. Our struggle in these bodies on this earth goes on. You have to be willing to fight. It is a spiritual war. Our lives are battlegrounds. And we'd better starve the old man and feed the new man if we're believers. That's what Paul is, that's what he's saying. He hates the way he is sometimes. He hates the way he was. And yet he's still tempted by those impulses and those desires that he once had. And he hates it. He doesn't want to relate to that man. There's good news. Sin now lacks the captivating power that it had before our new birth in Christ. Look at verses 21 and 22. Paul writes, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." So Paul has discovered a fundamental truth that describes his situation. What is that truth? Here it is. The new Paul, the redeemed Paul, wants to do what's right. He doesn't want to do what's evil. The new Paul identifies with and delights in the law of God inwardly. That's the good news for the believer. Look at verses 23 and 24. He says, I delight inwardly in the law of God. The new man delights in wanting to do what's right and in actually doing what God says is right. But look at verses 23 and 24. He says, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Did you know that there are actually people who profess to be Christians who hold to the position that Christians don't sin? That's right. Where they get that from, I have no idea. Listen, I'm not making excuses for sin. Believers have been set free from bondage to sin. God has given every believer everything they need to live a life of godliness. We have no excuse for giving in to sin. And when we do, it's because we're not starving the old man. We're feeding the old man. It's because we're not making use of the means of grace. It's because we're not giving sacrificially. It's because we're not in our Bibles. It's because we're not fellowshipping with other believers. It's because we're not hearing the Word of God proclaimed faithfully. It's because dust is gathering on our Bibles during the week. So we're not doing what we ought to be doing, or the old man would be being starved and the new man would be being fed. So we have no excuse. Nevertheless, though Paul has already acknowledged that he has been delivered from the bondage of sin, he knows that another deliverance must come. And that is, he has been delivered from bondage to sin, that is the power of sin, but he needs to be delivered from the very presence of sin. That means this body of death. What does this say to you and me? If we're believers, what it says, if I am a true believer in Jesus, I have already been delivered from the power of sin. God's given me everything I need to live a life that is holy and righteous unto Him. And if I don't, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. But I also recognize that I live in this same physical body I was born with. And until the Lord carries me home, I will not be delivered from this body of death. I will not be delivered from the very presence of sin until I am absent from this body. For the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and if I'm present with the Lord, the presence of sin is not there because sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. That is the final deliverance for the child of God. I'm thankful that I am alive here in this body, with you, with my friends, with my family, but I know that as long as I'm in this body, no matter how closely I walk with the Lord, my life is a battleground. I will be in a war against my own flesh until the day the Lord delivers me from the very presence of sin. Can we not see that Paul has been describing his condition and the condition of every believer by using opposing descriptions? So let me give you a few of them. The new man, the old man. The inward man, the outer man. The sinful man, the spiritual man. And here in verses 23 and 24, he is once again using opposing language. Delivered from bondage to sin, needing to be delivered from a body of death. And so we must war. We must war against ungodly, sinful impulses and desires. The good news is we can win those wars. We can win those battles. We can. That's the good news for the believer. Victory over sin is possible. But the ultimate victory, the ultimate deliverance is coming. And that is when the believer will see the Lord face to face. Can you not hear Paul's misery in his words? Listen, this is how badly he wanted to live a life that was glorifying to God. You're about to hear how badly he wanted to identify with Paul and how much he hated identifying with Saul, the old man. He says, in an exclamatory way, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
That's who will do it. He says, so then, in other words, but until then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So he's just reiterating the fact that while I wait on the Lord to deliver me from this body of death, there's a war. A war I have to fight. It's a good fight. It's the good fight of faith to represent my Lord with honor. Who will deliver us, believer? Thanks be to who? Who will deliver us? God. How will He deliver us? Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have a Redeemer. We have a Deliverer. And He will deliver His children completely. Utterly. From the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and finally from the very presence of sin. Believer, if you're a believer in Christ, if you've been born from above, let me tell you, you've already got two of the three. He's already delivered you from the penalty of sin. You will never pay for your sins. Jesus paid it all on the cross. Yep. And guess what? You have been delivered from the power of sin. Do not underestimate what you are able to do for the glory of God if you will wear the full armor of God and make use of the means of grace and get busy about the Lord's business and don't be lazy in your spiritual walk. You can have victory in Jesus here and now. But you're going to have to fight. And I don't care how well you know the Lord or how long you've been walking with Him, you're in a battle, you're in a war, and it will continue until Jesus says, come with me. And He delivers you from these bodies of death. And then, salvation is complete. Thanks be to God. The deliverance of the child of God is certain. And it will be completed. He who has begun a good work in you will continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when He comes, oh, believer, it's nothing but paradise. Won't you fight the good fight of faith? May the Lord bless the preaching of His Word. Ivy.